Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by Career Management Associates. I'm David Chulo. It's about all things in the human resource world. We're going to bring in local, regional, and national guests, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics and explain why human resource management is critical to your business success so that you can make decisions to keep and retain great talent.
Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by CMAcareer.com and Verrill-Law.com. I'm your host, Tani Alvarez, and today our guest is Jeremy Vesta, Chief Financial Officer at Curaly, and today we're discussing the hidden costs of employee health insurance. Often we ask our employees to bring their whole selves to work, but when we make this request, it includes things like chronic health conditions, all the stressors that they have going on outside of their work life. And the thing is that employees are balancing all these things. And sometimes I think employers forget that all that stuff is going on outside the work environment. Enters Jeremy. And today he and I are going to discuss how to creatively address the hidden costs of employee health insurance. So welcome, Jeremy. It's great to have you here.
Yeah, so glad to be here. Thanks for having me, Tony.
Well, you know, Jeremy, you and I have talked already. We've had a brief kind of getting to know you discussion, and I really enjoyed hearing a little bit about your background and then a lot about Curaly and what you as an organization are doing to solve a problem that I think wasn't at the top of my radar, but when you really put some thought into it, it really is a serious issue that all employers across the country are facing. And I look forward to us really kind of digging into that concept. But before we get there, our listeners always are questioning. They say, Tani, where do you find these people? How do you decide who's going to be on talking about what type of things? And because of that, I like for our guests to give a little bit of background about themselves, kind of what do you do? Who are you? How do you get from where you started to where you're at now?
Yeah, sure. Chief Financial Officer of Curaly can mean a lot of different things. And in this case, it does, involved in a lot of aspects of our business operations and data analysis and all those things. I started off with kind of a background in economics and risk management, but had a family background in manufacturing. And the interesting thing is this whole concept of caring for your employees, caring about their real health, their utilization, came from kind of trying to give back to those employees. We've been very successful as a family business, wanted to give back to something to them. Started off with kind of the concept of the concierge type healthcare system before there really were concierge healthcare systems. And then decided, you know what, we're going to reach out. We brought on a medical director. We brought on some nurses and said, what about kind of developing these relationships, right? Our whole business had been based off relationships with our employees and really making an impact. And so we did that. And we figured it was going to cost us more money, right? You just think, hey, this is a big benefit, right? But we'd been successful. Fast forward 4 years later, you're looking at it and we saved over 20% net to our baseline year, you know, in an environment at the time trend was 8 and 9% in the area we were at. So very significant. We're not talking net to trend. We're talking net to that baseline year. And it blew us away. Obviously, it was our company. We had control over a lot of different things, but we quickly realized this is something people need. Because prior to that, we looked at our healthcare and benefits costs, and it's a given. You know, we're price takers in this market. It's just going to be what it's going to be. And we saw a way, wow, if we can make people healthier, it makes sense. I'm a risk manager. We're reducing risk. And when you reduce risk, you reduce the cost. And at the same time, it has, as we're going to talk about, it has a lot of other benefits that are almost more powerful than the savings.
So you start out as a, you know, member of a family-owned business. Family members are all kind of looking at employees, realize, gosh, here's a way that we could reduce our health insurance costs. And let's fast forward. So you do. It ends up working yeah. for you all. And it sounds like, and I'm interested kind of to hear more about Curaly, and I think our listeners very much are interested. You then kind of make it available for public consumption. And it's interesting because I think a lot of companies would say, gosh, honey, I figured out the secret sauce. Here's my secret sauce, and I'm not going to share it. But not only do you all, you know, your family's business says, okay, here's our secret sauce. Not only are we going to share it with everyone, right? We're going to make another business that just says, let me kind of make this work for you as well. And that's what Curaly is, correct?
Yeah. And we, you know, we got addicted on the fact that we were changing people's lives. It sounds pretty corny, but you see these people go from, you know, some individuals losing 200 pounds, getting off of diabetes meds, reversing hypertension issues, leading drastically improved quality of life, and what it did to the company culture, what it did to their lives. And it's just, it's something that we wanted to get out there because, you know, everybody should have a piece of this. Obviously there's a way for us to grow a major business this way, but you know, it's a labor of the heart as well as a labor of business in this case.
So does Curaly kind of provide just a blueprint and say kind of go at it? Or do you have chief medical officers and nurses who you are, I don't want to say contracting out, but who are providing these services to other entities kind of across the country?
Yeah, so we are providing the resource. So we're bringing in the medical expertise. We're bringing in the nurse case managers. We're bringing in the medical directors. And then the important thing is it keeps you separate from that. So it keeps that barrier where you can be confidential, which is extremely important. We keep it voluntary because we quickly learned in our process that if people didn't want to participate, they weren't going to participate. So it's on us to get them to want to participate and join the program within your membership, your plan membership. But then we start to develop that relationship. And it's important that we are controlling those on your behalf because A, your HR teams don't have the resources to be doing this. Let's be frank. You don't want to hire 15 more people to manage some kind of process like this. And we have the expertise to do it. So we're bringing in this expertise. We're developing relationships with your employees. And then slowly over time, after we've initially built that trust, we're getting them to make choices. We're getting them to take a look at all aspects of their life, not just, hey, you got to take your meds. Everybody knows that. Yeah, that's nothing new. But having the conversation that says, hey, this is possible for you. If you make these little changes, you really can do something that maybe you've not even done in your entire life. And it becomes very powerful. And then on top of that, you add in, you know, our expertise in large case management. And we take some of the most complex situations, like an individual that had cancer. We looked at the claims clearly on a maintenance drug, was just waiting to die. We looked at the case, got the medical records, met with the individual, said maybe this is a good candidate for a surgical option. Goes in, surgery, remission, and now that person is in remission, as opposed to basically A, spending a lot of money, but B, probably going to die in a few years. I mean, tremendous difference. And so you can imagine from an HR perspective, what that impact that has to say, our company invested in this and it saved your colleague's life, your family member's life, something like that. Really powerful.
For those of you who are just joining us, you're listening to the HR Power Hour, and I'm your host, Tani Alvarez, and our guest today is Jeremy Vesta, Chief Financial Officer at Curaly, and we're discussing the hidden costs of employee health insurance. Jeremy, I'm going to rewind us a little bit, right? So you're a bit, you know, you're a business leader and you're looking at risk and the health insurance bill comes due and you're looking at these numbers. Oftentimes, you know, when I'm talking to senior executives who provide a service, the first thing I say is, what was the problem that you identified that either needed an answer that was unfulfilled in the market currently? So how do you get to a place where, you know, you're looking at an insurance bill and you say, wait a second. I mean, we all say there's a problem here. Everyone, I think, most people agree that there is an issue with healthcare in America, but how do you get from, yes, there's a problem with healthcare in America to where you're at and identifying, gosh, incrementally we can assist companies in solving this problem and then Curaly's born, but kind of identify that problem for me.
Yeah. So the problem is you get in the room, every year you're talking about your renewals, and we were in this situation, and you're a price taker. It just comes, here's what your premiums are. This is your increase. This is what we think you need to do with your deductible, yada, 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 all of that. And most companies don't take the time to sit down because they don't have the resources or the expertise to say, what's going into this, right? And so your broker or your benefits manager is bringing you some kind of negotiated discounts, and those are all good things, or reducing utilization from ER is a common thing. And again, those are important. We're not diminishing that, but that's kind of getting at the margins. And when we looked at the total piece, when we got into the claims, when we went with our medical director and studied all of that in our own company, we realized, wow, our population's very unhealthy. And, you know, we've had a wellness program that's not really getting at it. I mean, a lot of the well people are in the wellness program, but the people we want to participate are a little bit more stubborn about that.
It defeats the purpose sometimes of those wellness programs when only your healthy people are partaking in the program.
Exactly. So we thought about, with the coaching system in place, right, do we have the ability to actually impact the utilization? And we looked at two things primarily, and there's two parts of this product. Number one is, what was the episodic cost? Let's forget about the unit costs of the items that we're purchasing through the healthcare plan. Because if they have 15 units instead of 5 units, you know, it's probably not efficient from a cost perspective over the long haul. What was the total cost of the episode? We started looking at that. And then we started looking at the risk of the individuals and the projected risk. And looking at, wow, okay, this person, you know, they haven't generated any claims yet, but here's their health risk assessment, right? They've got a BMI of 36 and they've got blood sugars that are, you know, closing in on 200 and things like that. You can see the writing on the wall. And so we started deploying the resources, getting in front of those things. And we found out that by developing the trust, it had to be confidential. It had to be voluntary, but by developing that trust and having people that genuinely cared, I mean, authenticity is key here. We were able to get those people who wanted to change their lives. They probably wanted to participate in the wellness program, but felt like it was something that was impossible for them, yeah, or embarrassing, mm-hmm. right? And convince them to do little things. Hey, walk around your house. Hey, try to give up, you know, this part of your meal a day, this little minute change in your behavior, and let's develop the small habits. Worked with them over time, worked on some of their collateral mental health issues, you know, getting them to the appropriate resources, dealing with, you know, hey, what's going on in your family? What's happening here? We care. And over time, those people start to get healthier, and it blows your mind.
It's interesting because, like, this leading with empathy and connecting with people seems to be kind of running throughout all of this. By, you know, you're not getting up there with your pom-poms and rah-rah saying, like, okay, we're all going to run a marathon. It's really just like, hey, let's have dessert 3 times a week instead of 7 times a week or something along those lines.
Yeah. But then it's also having a conversation about, what is your doctor doing? You've got 3 specialists and I'm looking at this and this is concerning. So why don't we go and talk to this doctor, because he's prescribing this drug that's working poorly with the other drug that your other provider has. And you think those things in the modern era of medical records are just handled, but they're not. And you combine all of that and all of a sudden they're feeling better. Well, we got them on the right medications, the right dosages. And then they're able to do the exercise. They're able to stick to these plans. They start to feel better and it becomes easier over time. And they're over the moon. They're thankful for you.
In a recent blog post, Curley noted that unlike sugar, gold, and other commodities, the units in healthcare are not equivalent. For our listeners who maybe aren't working intimately with benefit plans or insurers, when you say units in healthcare, what do you mean? Because you've used that earlier as well.
The great example is within the orthopedic sphere. So you've got somebody that needs a knee replacement. There's probably, if you're in a major metropolitan area, there's dozens of options for that procedure, right? Well, in certain areas, you might see the cost of that knee, the total episode, right? We're looking at that total episode. That cost might be from, $12,000 all the way up to $100,000. So you're not buying the same product. And it's not even true that the guy that's doing the knee for $100,000 is necessarily the best surgeon. And then there's further costs because then you have, the readmissions with complications and infections, and you look at all those rates and you're not buying the same thing. Everybody that graduated doctor is not doctor. That's just a fact. So it's understanding within that community what's the necessary unit, if it's a test, if you're running a blood test, do you need to be running an entire panel, or do you really just need to check basic cholesterol in this individual? What's their primary care doing? Advising on those things. And then what do you do with it? So let's say they've run the test. That's great, but the person doesn't change their lifestyle. You've done nothing. You've created utilization. You've created cost, but it's not proving to do anything. So there's such a stratification. Another good example is you look at infused drugs, right? You can get them done at infusion centers. You can get them done in home. You can get them done in other areas. And the costs are 50 to 60% different depending on how you do it for the same result. So the question is, why aren't we doing the efficient? Well, there's not as much transparency there. So somebody like us with the expertise to look through those things, to investigate, we can push you towards those. And so, yeah, it's not like you're buying a knee replacement is not just buying a knee replacement. There's a lot that goes into that. And you need some expertise. You need an advocate. And I'd love to tell you that all your primary care doctors are going to do the right thing and get you to the right surgeon, but that's just not the case. It's obviously true. They've got relationships. They've got referral patterns. They've got people that they typically work with, and they don't necessarily see, the insurance costs at the end of it. So they think they're doing the right thing, but we can help put that all together with our expertise to say, have the conversation with your primary care and say, look, for this complicated procedure in this manner, we really think this person needs to go to X. And by doing that, all of a sudden now we're getting a $25,000 knee with no complications, a very quick recovery, much less in terms of physical therapy, and that person's back to work and happy and healthy in a very short time.
And that's actually, it's a good time for us to take a quick break, but I want to return to some of those concepts right after the break. So you're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM and WLOBradio.com. We'll be right back.
In today's highly regulated climate, customized HR solutions are needed more than ever. Career Management Associates can partner with your existing HR department for projects or even serve as your outsourced HR team. From compliance and compensation to investigations and employee relations, CMA provides you trusted HR solutions. Call 207-780-1125 or visit cmacareer.com.
At over 150 years old, Verrill has an illustrious history with more than seven generations of legal expertise. With more than 130 attorneys across seven offices from Maine to Washington, D.C., Verrill serves clients across the country and around the world. HR professionals, business leaders, and in-house counsel count on Verrill as one of the premier labor and employment law practices in the Northeast. Contact Verrill at verrill-law.com. That's verrill-law.com.
As the list of compliance challenges for businesses continues to grow, it's time to think about your payroll vendor as someone that can do more than just pay your employees. I'm Chris Clef, president of Paper Trails. We're a team of fun and local experts purveying convenient, high-tech payroll and compliance services across New England. Whether your business is struggling to stay compliant with an earned paid leave law, you're worrying about retirement savings programs, or you have questions about your state's paid family medical leave, Paper Trails has the team and tools necessary to allow you to handle the work while we handle the paperwork. To learn more about Paper Trails and how we can help your business, visit papertrails.com/HR Power.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com and Verrill-law.com. I'm your host, Tani Alvarez from Verrill, and today our guest is Jeremy Vesta, Chief Financial Officer at Curaleigh. And today we're discussing the hidden costs of employee health insurance. You know, Jeremy, right before the break, we were talking about units in healthcare. And I laugh because I definitely didn't pause us on like rays of sunshine that you're sharing with us, but more kind of the underbelly of the American healthcare system. But you were briefly getting into some of the positives here about how, you know, why should employers care? Yes, there's the cost of it, right? So we're looking at increasing healthcare costs, and that's important for everyone to understand. But is this really just a bottom line discussion, or are there greater things at stake here? So let's talk about some of those kind of greater things that are at stake here and how kind of a mindset that's similar to what you're describing affects employers' business model generally.
Absolutely. And I personally believe these impacts are greater than the financial impacts. So you're talking about helping them be more productive at work. They're healthier. They're showing up more often. They're not having as many doctor visits. They're not going out, you know, and being off work for weeks because, hey, I had to have X surgery, or I was in the emergency room for this, you know, heart attack event, you know, major events that dramatically alter their lifestyle. We're helping keep those people healthy and productive. But what happens when you do that? Because it's really multiplicative. It becomes part of the culture. So from a recruiting, from a retention standpoint, you are now the employer of choice with you know, adding very little cost, because now I'm working for an employer that truly is showing that they care about me. They're not just putting numbers and giving me a discount to a gym and making sure that I have a benefits package that's adequate. They're having somebody dig into what makes me tick and help me through my problems. Well, that starts to spread. You know, our program's confidential, but people don't have to be. And they talk. And hey, you know John from accounting, and you know Susie from legal, and you see them show up, and you see their attitude changing. You see that they've lost some weight. They're looking better. You see that they're out of work less. You see that they're more alert in meetings and more productive. They're starting to get things done, you know, that maybe they wouldn't be able to get to before. And it's incremental. But as you see that, you start to build that team, because there's this sense that the company really does care. And I'm a huge believer in authenticity. And that's, from an HR perspective, that can be very difficult, because you have to toe a lot of lines, right? You have to be compliant. You have to have some bent towards the legal aspects and the risks of what happens within a company. But you really do care about your employees. So how do you manage that company line? Well, when you bring in a resource that's a third party, you know, you're not having to go on the record and have these tough conversations. You're not having to pitch yourself against the employee to say, wow, this cost us a lot of money. What are you doing? That sounds horrible. You have somebody that cares, develops the relationship on your behalf, having the conversation with this employee and say, look, wouldn't you like to have a better life? Wouldn't you like to get past this? Wouldn't you like to, hey, get a home infusion, which is simpler. And by the way, it's less costly. Do things like that. How can we unpack all of this to make your life better? Well, now they're showing up for work and they're talking about their experience. You know, they might not be saying some of the things that they want to keep confidential, obviously, but they're talking about it and they're getting other people excited, and you start to get more participation, and it's kind of the waterfall effect, right? And now they know, hey, this company brought in a product that actually impacted my life, because we've had a lot of products come through and frankly, they didn't do much. And I never participated. Maybe I should have, but I didn't. And these people, they reached out to me and showed that they cared. And again, I will emphasize, authenticity and humility is the key to this program. It's the key to being able to really have an impact, I believe, on the utilization and the health of your employees. Because if you're not authentic, if you're not coming at it with a humble mind, you're not going to develop the trust in the relationships. They have to know that you care about them.
Now, you've mentioned this like trust and relationship, and sure, two, you know, really important concepts. I mean, is this one meeting, one phone call, or is this a relationship building? Like, hey, it takes us probably 2 months to even build trust that we can get a better understanding of what this person's lifestyle even looks like. And yeah, we've got the data from doctors as to, you know, how much they're using health insurance or the healthcare system, but the why behind some of this. I mean, is it just a couple of phone calls and, hey, we expect this, or are we looking at like almost an individualized coach or peer who's helping you through all this?
Everything's individualized, and it has to be. And that's, I think that's part of the problem with the solutions that are out there today, is we're not treating people as individuals. Everybody has a unique situation. It's not just a diabetic. What went into that? How did they get there? What's their story? And I wouldn't say, you know, some people might take 2 months, but the majority of them within a couple meetings, you know, they're really bought in and they get it because the nurse is working with them so closely. And it's face to face. We're meeting them in person. We're going on site. We're setting up a meeting, and it's however long they need. So you go to your primary care. What do you maybe get 5 to 8 minutes, right? And it's not that your primary care doesn't care about you. They do, but they just don't have the time. We like to consider ourselves kind of the ultimate extender. So we're taking that and we're meeting with your member potentially for 2 hours, maybe for the first meeting, if that's what the person needs. Maybe it's 15 minutes, but maybe it's 2 hours. I know we've had instances where our medical director has driven to somebody's home after hours and spent the entire evening with them. It was a very critical situation, very emotional, coached them all through the night. That's the type of investment and effort that it takes to develop that trust, right? And that's what we do. So it's not that your team has to do it. We're going to do it on your behalf. And once you do that, you know, again, they get the sense within a meeting or two. So usually within a couple of weeks, maybe a month, they're bought in and they're starting to make progress. But it is interesting, and it takes a lot of investment. It can't just be a couple phone calls.
Yeah. And it's interesting because when we talk about investment and we talk about, you know, empathy and bringing your whole self, I feel like we have so many different generations in the workforce right now. And we have generations that are very comfortable with bringing their whole self to work. And we have other generations that are in the workforce that are very comfortable and only want to have their personal life as their personal life and their work life as their work life. You know, when we're talking about integrate, and it's not even really integrating, but I think a lot of people would think any employer benefit means that I'm giving up some type of right to protection as to that confidential information. How do you respond when you get those type of concerns from participants who are saying, I know this is going to get back to my employer, you're just looking for a way to get rid of me faster? I mean, I think, unfortunately, in our society, there is some pretty significant distrust of employers because of history, background, lots of different things. How do you overcome that distrust, even in the best of employers?
Yeah, so it goes into the contracting, you know, to start. We're very clear when we start with an employer, we have to maintain confidentiality. We're not going to show you what goes on. We might tell you if you bring a case to us, okay, we're going to reach out and we're going to make impacts. We're certainly going to show you de-identified results. Here's how we're saving you money. But it's we emphasize the confidentiality, and some people are still going to be skeptical at first. But again, it's about earning trust. So as we have successes with certain people within the organization, people that maybe do trust a little more, The word gets out that we don't talk to your employer. They don't hear about anything that we do. They don't know that you're going to the EAP. They don't know any of this stuff because it's critically important. We're not going to have any success if we start communicating to HR about what's going on. Man, this person's really a problem. You got to get rid of them. That's not our job. And that's what's beautiful about us being a third party and not being part of your organization directly, is we're impartial. We're working on behalf of both sides. So we truly can then be an advocate for that participant to say, it's between you and me. We're going to go on this journey together. We're going to get better. And, you know, if you falter, if you have an event, it's not like HR is going to hear about it. It's not, your boss certainly is never going to hear about it. And we're going to work around your schedule. I'm not going to sit there and pull you off the line or pull you out of a meeting to talk. If you need to meet after hours, we're available when you're available, which is really how medicine probably should work. to be honest, it's we got to meet people where they are, and both in terms of the state of them and the timing, because it adds tremendous stress if they've got to juggle their day, right? So we're going to say you get to be as productive, keep your time, all of that. We're not going to be disruptive at all to your life, but we're going to be in it.
So I'm sure that there's a lot of people who are listening right now who are like, gosh, you know, okay, this makes a ton of sense. Like, how didn't I think of that almost, right? But then at the same time, we're thinking, well, wait, does this only work with my employees who have some type of chronic condition? Or does it work with my population as a whole more generally?
Yeah, and I think that's the important thing. We do a hybrid of both. So we're here for everybody. Anybody that has questions has the ability to reach out to us. And as you know, with most HR programs, you don't get a lot of volume. You know, the people that are not being asked to engage, you're not getting a tremendous amount of time and volume from that. So it's very easy to handle that. But at the same time, we're going through and we're not going to spend a bunch of time with somebody that may be pre-diabetic, but very young, lower on the BMI scale and has some time, right? We might work down the list to that person, but we're going to start with your most at risk and we're going to put the resources where they matter. So we're available to everybody. We're helping everybody in your organization, but we're really going after those critical people. And that's where the power is, because those are also the people that you're probably having a lot of problems with, honestly. You know, they're out of work a lot. They're having those issues. And if we can change those people and change their lives, change their productivity, change their outlook on the company, it has tremendous impact on everybody else.
Yeah, I mean, in my mind, I can just see clients talking about the intermittent FMLA leaves that they're balancing right now, or the ADA accommodations that do require some type of intermittent leave or unscheduled absences. And depending on the environment that you're working in, hospitality, manufacturing, you know, when you don't have a person on the line or you don't have somebody to clean half a dozen rooms that day, not only does it put added stress on the other team members, which then decreases their satisfaction with their job, but it also, you know, decreases the final product, whether or not it's a service or a product, in so many significant ways. So really kind of helpful when you think about it from that perspective, like, how do we decrease absenteeism? Well, when it's health related, you know, this becomes foundationally a very helpful tool that isn't just like, why are you sick all the time? You should be here.
Keep in mind, our background is one of the most difficult environments. It's manufacturing background. And in fact, we had a union in several of our facilities. So the union absolutely loved this product because it was authentic. So it even helped us develop a better relationship with our union and help us in negotiations down the road. Not that that was our core goal, but we were dealing with very difficult work, lots of injuries, lots of WCB, lots of all of the things that you talked about, and changed lives, and it tremendously impacted that culture.
I'm sure there's a lot of people who are listening to us as podcasts right now who are rewinding the last 30 seconds and being, wait a second, did he just say that management and the union agreed on something without negotiating it? But you heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen. With that, however, we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM and WLOBradio.com. We'll be right back.
Educational HR Radio is critical to your organization's success, and our sponsors understand the value this program brings to owners, C-suite professionals, and the HR community. We are honored to thank our sponsors for their support and contributions to this program. We thank the law firms of Verrill, Jackson Lewis, and Sheehan Finney, along with our partners, Paper Trails and Strategic HR. Want to be the next sponsor of the HR Power Hour? Text 603-303-6124 and say HR Power Hour sponsor.
It's 6:42 p.m. Time for Steve Plato and his son Dylan to do the dishes. They talk about everything from the yuckiness of girls to the awesomeness of his soccer team. Sometimes they don't talk at all. Then, hey! The dreaded splash fight. It's dad o'clock, and it's the best time of the day. because the smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com and Verrill-Law.com. I'm your host, Tawny Alvarez, and today our guest is Jeremy Vesta, Chief Financial Officer, Curaly. And today we're discussing the hidden costs of employee health insurance. If you were with us before the break, you also learned that we have figured out how to make sure that management and union agree on things. We've pretty much gotten rid of negotiations and collective bargaining agreements. I am only half-heartedly joking here, but I think that's a really cool thing, Jeremy, about what we're talking about, is we're talking about a concept that it doesn't matter what, honestly, your belief system is, what you're, you know, we could go into all the things that make Americans different and all the things that in our current environment we disagree on. And honestly, to date, you haven't told me anything where I'm like, ooh, that is really, you know, I could see that blowing up a company and having two sides to this. Like, really what you're saying is providing a product, a service, right, that helps individuals take better advantage of the healthcare system, helps them navigate it, and decreases costs for employers, which results in better job satisfaction and honestly more productivity generally. You know, we can talk about these in large scale, kind of like, I don't want to say kumbaya moments, but yeah, that does sound great. But I'm sure that there is individuals who are listening and that say, yeah, but how does this really play out? You've told me that sometimes you're going to have, you know, large scale discussions with somebody about like diet and exercise. But if you have a good primary care physician, you know, hopefully they're doing some of that as well. And not just that, but, you know, think about how many weight loss programs, or, you know, I've tried everything and it hasn't worked. Kind of why does this work, and how, like, do you have prove it to me? I think some people are saying.
Sure. Yeah. And sometimes it takes a few cases. Sometimes people reject us. I mean, again, not everybody joins the program when we first get started. We had an individual that, had significant issues, had very, very progressed diabetes, and basically really didn't get anything under control until after he had his amputation. But after he had his amputation, he had seen some of the people that had dealt with us, and he immediately signed on. He called us. We had called him several times. You know, we'd been after him, and he called us, and he became one of our most vocal supporters, but also one of our best participants, because sometimes it takes those events, unfortunately, to get people in the right frame of mind to really change. And you're right. It's not easy. This takes a tremendous amount of work. That's why we're on site with our clients. That's why we're available after hours. That's why we do everything in our power to make sure we're available to people that need us. And that's also why we're not going after everybody in your population to the same degree, because we want to help those where it's really going to make a difference. So you combine all of that together, and, you know, yeah, it is more complex than that. I'd love to say that your primary care is doing everything, and some people have some fantastic primary cares, but even with that, you know, the difference in specialists, are you going to a center of excellence? Are you getting to, you know, that knee surgeon that really is the right efficiency, right? Because your primary care doesn't know that. They don't know what the cost of that person's knee operations are. They don't know what their readmission rate is. They don't know those things. So even if they're very good primary cares, they may not have that information. We do. You know, we seek that out. We do find that information, and we're able to make referrals. We're able to get people into primary cares that we have vetted when they don't have the ability, sometimes even when they have closed practices, because we develop relationships with the providers as well. You think our program would be disruptive in that respect, but we end up being really good partners, as we said, kind of ultimate extender with those primary care. So you start to see over time within the company, the levels of expertise and kind of a pseudo concierge service that you're getting by participating, it becomes easier and easier. And at the beginning, I'm not going to lie, it's hard. You know, it takes a very protracted internal marketing program. We got to have buy-in from HR that we're getting information out. We do a lot of, you know, things like lunch and learns. You know, we'll show up on site. You know, if you have a toolbox meeting or this kind of meeting or whatever, we'll present on something, and not just, again, not just something like, hey, here's sun safety in the summer, you know, but wear your sunscreen. Everybody does that. But something like, hey, let's talk about off-branded drugs. Let's talk about Ozempic, you know, something very controversial, something that you can talk about from multiple different sides. We'll provide some insider info and topics like that that are valuable, show our expertise, and use those as leverage points. So we have a whole plan on how we bring people on, but it does take a lot of effort. It's not for the faint of heart.
I mean, it's interesting too, when you mentioned something like that, and we look at different segments of our population, whether or not it's segments of our population who are living paycheck to paycheck, who have some type of savings available. And when we look at what brings the different segments of the population into poverty or into financial distress, and then the effect that financial distress more generally has on productivity, happiness, integration. It's interesting because, like, yes, there are things outside of health that cause financial stress, divorce, accidents. I mean, normally accidents are then tied to some type of health condition as well that may either be short-term or long-term. But I think we forget so very often, like, how health really is integral to all of these other concepts that stem off from it. What are some of the things that you hear or the feedback that you're getting from clients as to how they can visually even see changes that are occurring in their employee population? Because yes, it's great to say, like, look at our numbers. Here's how much we're actually saving you year over year versus your competitors. But what are we seeing on the manufacturing floor kind of the operations aspect of our organizations that you're serving?
Sure. So here's a perfect example. We had an individual, lower level employee within a company that we work with, and he had a son with a very complex birth defect, very life threatening, and it, you know, not the resources necessarily to vet out all of the latest and greatest this and that and what's available. Everything seems expensive. I've got 6 specialists that my son is seeing, and I don't know what I'm doing. I don't have, you know, the exposure and the life experiences to help me through this. And I'm alone, because guess what? Nobody in my company really has that resource. Nobody in my family has that resource. So insert our medical director gets involved. And obviously that individual was struggling. He didn't know if he was going to be able to keep working, because it's a challenge. So obviously when he shows up to work, it's not bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. It's somebody that's going through a very dark period of their life. And that's usually where we're meeting a lot of these people. And so you insert us, we start talking to the specialists and the primary care. We start coordinating. We work through some of the issues they were having in terms of communication. We get the drugs on the right path. We get the people talking to each other. We spend hours, I mean, countless hours, counseling this family and meeting with this family. And you fast forward, and the child's condition is stable, and it's still a challenge for that family, but the outlook has totally changed. So that individual shows up to work and can have a smile, can feel good about things. And it really does happen. It really does happen. You think back to the example I gave you about cancer. That individual who showed up to work every day pretty much knew she was going to die. That was the prognosis. That was the plan they were on. Maybe, you know, this maintenance drug would have some impact, but realistically, we don't know how long you're going to have, but here it is. And now she can look to the future. It's a tremendously powerful thing. And then you get to pull in, oh, by the way, the company, not even the medical system, the company was responsible for making that happen. I mean, that's an unbelievable story. I doubt they're going to come into work and complain a heck of a lot about what's going on, even if there's plenty to complain about, just because their entire life was changed.
No, it's such a really moving and very powerful scenario and, you know, circumstance. And there's a part of me that's like, you know what, even the most highly educated individuals, when they find themselves in a situation like that, it's not something that they're educated on how to navigate something like that and also maintain balance of all other aspects of the life that, you know, that you have at that point in time. Jeremy, so helpful kind of to hear all these things. We are at that point where we need to take another quick break. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM and WLOBradio.com. We'll be right back.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
Car is a wreck and you don't know where to go.
Take it to Moody's.
You want to get on with your life, get on with the show.
Take it to Moody's.
Good people you can trust
and it won't be a fuss.
Take it to Moody's. Collision Centers.
M-O-O-D-Y.
Your kid was talking on the cell phone, drove right through your own home, sitting in the parking lot, maybe you get hit a lot, driving through the green light, suddenly your side swipe, put it in reverse, but it turned out that it was first.
Take it to Moody's. Take it to Moody's. Collision Centers.
As the list of compliance challenges for businesses continues to grow, it's time to think about your payroll vendor as someone that can do more than just pay your employees. I'm Chris Clef, president of Paper Trails. We're a team of fun and local experts purveying convenient, high-tech payroll and compliance services across New England. Whether your business is struggling to stay compliant with an earned paid leave law, you're worrying about retirement savings programs, or you have questions about your state's paid family medical leave, Paper Trails has the team and tools necessary to allow you to handle the work while we handle the paperwork. To learn more about Paper Trails and how we can help your business, visit papertrails.com/HR Power.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com and Verrill-Law.com. I'm your host, Tawny Alvarez from Verrill, and today our guest is Jeremy Vesta, Chief Financial Officer at Curaly. And today we've been discussing hidden costs of employee health insurance and the work generally that Curaly's done to create a product that really helps employers to, I don't want to say manage employee health insurance, but really to assist employees in managing their own health and the insurance process. You know, before the break, Jeremy, one of the things that we had talked about is how health kind of foundationally leads to and breaks off into a number of other concepts, whether or not it's financial well-being, mental health well-being, those type of things. I'm sure we have some listeners today who are saying, this all sounds great, you know, the employer gets more money in their pocket, but do employees have financial benefits to kind of participating in something like this as well?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, obviously, in the overarching, when you're reducing utilization and risk, they're not having the event that's expensive. They're not having to pay out their full deductible. But then you talk about people that are struggling. I love that you brought that up. People that are living paycheck to paycheck. What do you have for them? Well, oftentimes, they don't have the chance or the expertise to have the conversation with the doctor to explain, I can't afford this drug. This might be the best answer for me. This might be the most effective, but by what degree is it the most effective? And they don't even know that alternatives are out there. They might've seen the commercial and it's like, hey, put me on Humira, right? Ka-ching, here you go. Yeah. Here's your copay, right?
When you walk in and ask for a certain drug, you're also taking that copay, which is never helpful.
Yeah. So, you know, by the way, you know, good luck paying for your groceries this week because, you know, maybe you missed a couple shifts, things like that. What we can do, because we're no additional cost to the employee, we're hired directly by the employer. They don't see any of that increase. We're going to them and we're having the conversation and saying, okay, look, is this working? Is this treatment even working? You know, you wanted this symptom removed or this issue. Is that happening to your satisfaction? But then we start to get in, here are alternatives, and let's talk to your doc. Let's figure out a solution that works, because it's not good having you on something that you can't afford. And then, yeah, maybe that's the best option, but you're still going to lead to having, you know, an emergency room visit or a catastrophic event if you're just not taking the medication. So let's find something that works.
Or if you're taking that drug and you're not feeding yourself or your family, I mean, we've got other, you know, or
yeah,
you can't make rent, can't pay the oil bill. I mean, there's all those other tangential things, you know, when we have very set financials, money goes to one thing or another thing. You have to give something up to get something.
It's Maslow's hierarchy of needs, right? You're going to meet the need you have to before the other ones. And if something feels that it's going to happen down the line, you might put that off. And oftentimes that's your health. And oftentimes that's the thing that leads to the biggest cost. And that leads to bankruptcy and other things for people. So helping them find solutions that work within the socioeconomic issues that they're dealing with is a huge opportunity. And so we're saving them money. And there are examples like, let's say, for instance, you've got an individual that really likes the company plan, but they're 71 years old and their deductible's high. And yeah, they're about ready to be at that stage where they might have some surgeries. We talk to them about, yeah, you might want to consider Medicare. You might want to move off the plan because it's actually going to save you money. Nobody's talked to you about this, but that's a real opportunity for you. And we'll help you through it. You're still going to engage with us. We're going to commit to doing that. You're not going to lose this service. So you can feel comfortable moving on to a plan that's going to be better for you financially and better for everybody. It raises all tides.
I can't imagine anyone ever saying, no, I don't want help navigating Medicare, because honestly, I think that's one of the big reasons why so many employees don't take that step, because they're just so frightened to navigate the process itself. And having someone kind of there to guide them through it, I can imagine is such a huge benefit. Jeremy, thank you so much. It's hard to believe, but we are at the end of our time together today. I really appreciate you agreeing to be on the show and sharing all of this really wonderful information about you, the company, and kind of the great successes you all have seen with the clients that you work with. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. Absolute pleasure.
You've been listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM and WLOBradio.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you, everyone, for listening, and catch us every week at 10 a.m. on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM or 1310 a.m. and streaming live at WLOBradio.com. Podcasts of this show and every show are available at HRPowerHour.com. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, HR management is critical to your business's success.